So please pass them down if you'd like to open your Bible with me. We are looking at, the reading is from Malachi, the last chapter of the last book of the Old Testament. It's on page 962, chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Page 962. Starting from chapter 4, verse 1. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. And you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Then you will trample on the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for reading those words. Well, do keep them open in front of you, and I'm going to lead us in a prayer as we come to God's word together this evening. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for all the good gifts you give us, but at this moment of time in our lives, we want to thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you for preserving it so that we today can hear it in our lives. We thank you for its truth, that it tells us things about you that otherwise we would never know or be able to know. But most of all, we thank you that in it we hear from you, our Maker, as you call us to belong to you. So please would you open our ears this evening. Would you give each and every one of us minds and hearts that are open to hearing your voice speak to us through your word, that this would be for our good and your glory. Amen. So today, as Fee mentioned, is Advent Sunday. And although I think it would be fair to say we don't often make much of the liturgical calendar of the Church of England here at St. Peter's, this evening I want to change that. And I want us to take Advent as our focus for what we're learning from God's word this evening. Now, Advent, it simply means coming. The coming of Jesus into the world. And obviously this far out from Christmas, just 4 weeks to go now, we can't help but think about and focus on that coming of his into the world, that very first Christmas when he was born as a baby in Bethlehem. He's coming to be our Savior. He's coming from heaven to earth. He's coming to save us from our sins. But actually, Advent and the season of Advent in the run-up to Christmas very deliberately has got another focus, another coming of Jesus into the world to add to that one. So not just this time as our Savior to save us, but also coming into this world as our righteous judge, the one who will bring justice to this broken world, the one to whom we will all have to give account. One advent of Jesus we've had, and one is yet to come. And to help us kind of get both of those in focus, we're going to be looking at these words of the prophet Malachi. You can see from the way our Bibles are printed here, and as Elizabeth said, he's the very last prophet of the Old Testament. The New Testament starts on the very next page. And he spoke these words, the very end of the Old Testament, from God about Advent, about this coming into the world. And it's an event that he calls, in chapter 4, the day of the Lord. 400 years spoken before the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. And I think it's fair to say, from 400 years out, Malachi doesn't see two comings. From his perspective, where he's standing in history, he just sees one and tells us of one coming. It's only when we turn our page, that page that doesn't really belong in the Bible, that isn't part of God's word, it just says New Testament, when we turn that over, that we understand and begin to understand that everything that Jesus came to do, both to save and to bring justice, both as our Savior and our Judge, won't actually be all accomplished all at once, but actually will be stretched out over time. So far, over 2,000 years of time. And not just in one coming, but actually in two. It's a bit like what happens to light when it hits a prism. Now, you know this from GCSE physics. When light hits a prism, it bends or refracts as it enters and as it exits. And that causes the white light to separate out into its individual colors. It's a process called dispersion. And the colors are then separated in order from red, which bends the least as it goes through the prism, to violet, which is bending the most. And Malachi, in chapter 4, as we're looking, it can see and is being shown by God just the white light, just one coming into the world. And he folds everything into that, everything he can see. But the prism, if you like, is like the New Testament that takes his prophecy and then refracts it and shows us there's more going on there than even he understood. It shows us the two comings of Jesus, not one. Now, it's not quite like this, and you'll know this if you passed your physics GCSE, because when light goes through a prism, it doesn't just refract into two colors, it actually refracts into seven colors, not just red and violet, which are at either ends of the spectrum. There's all the colors of the rainbow in between. But to reassure you, if you're going to get misled by this illustration, there are not seven comings of Jesus. That would be a really bad foot to get off onto in the start of this. So there are just two that are revealed to us in the New Testament. And we're going to look at these two comings, two advents of Jesus into the world with Malachi's help, and try and hold them together in this season of Advent. So Malachi tells us three things about the one who will come. The first thing he tells us, he wants us to know, is he will be a rising sun. He will be a rising sun. Have a look with me at verse 2. But for you who revere my name, the Sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. I don't know about you, I don't tend to see too many sunrises in the normal run of things, the pattern of my life. If I see a sunrise, something has probably gone wrong in my life. Something has happened to me that has forced me to get up that early in the morning. Something has woken me up earlier than I wanted to be woken up. But the image here is not of something going wrong. It's actually entirely positive, because those who see this sunrise, we're told, will frolic like well-fed calves. I don't think you can get a much more positive image in your mind than a frolicking, well-fed calf. We're going to come back to that in a moment. So a sunrise is an inherently hopeful and uplifting image for Malachi to use to tell us about this coming. A new day is dawning, a day that is full of potential, a day that is yet to come, is full of hope, how it might turn out. You know, if you have seen it, it starts, first of all, with just this faint pink tinge to the night right at the bottom of the sky. And then the clouds, particularly if it's a cloudy morning, just begin to catch that light as it spreads, and as that pink turns to orange, and it looks like the clouds are beginning to catch fire. And then at the same time, you notice that the black of night has turned to gray. And then eventually, you see the sun itself, and the darkness has completely gone, and it's the start of the day. That, says Malachi, is what this coming into the world will be like. It'll be like a brand new day. It'll be like the dawning of a new era. It'll be the end of night. At our carol services in a couple of weeks' time, we're going to hear again the well-known announcement from another, actually earlier prophet than Malachi, of this same day that is coming, this sunrise that he is wanting us to know about. You'll know these words well, I'm sure. The prophet Isaiah tells us, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Before this light dawned, and the sun rose, people were walking in darkness, in a land of deep darkness. And when you do that, if you've tried doing that, when you walk in the darkness, you start to lose a sense of direction and where you're going. And you find it quite hard to stay on the right path. You get lost and you can get into difficulty and you can actually get hurt when you're walking in darkness, in deep darkness. Now it's poetic. It's a prophetic image actually of life. Life in this world where all of us walking in darkness have lost that sense of direction that we need to get through life well and safely. We've lost our way morally and spiritually, both personally and collectively. And a world like that needs great light. A world like that needs a rising sun to shine on it. And it's into a world like that that Jesus came, to bring us the light that we need, to show us the way to go, to help us walk without getting lost, without getting hurt. And he does that, of course, in his teaching. His word, the Bible tells us, is a light to our path. He did that in his life when he lived on earth. He did that so clearly, so attractively, so compellingly. But ultimately, he did that in his death and resurrection. He is the great light that could not be extinguished, even by death, even by being nailed to a cross. He is the rising and now the risen sun, alive forever. And one day, he will come again, as he said he would. And if you were here a few weeks ago, we were in Luke's gospel, and Jesus himself told us of his next coming, and he gave us a glimpse of what he will be like and what it will be like when he comes. Do you remember these words from Luke chapter 9? "Whoever is ashamed of me and my words," he said, "the Son of Man," referring to himself, "will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." And then Luke tells us about 8 days after he said that, Jesus said this. He took Peter, John, and James with him, and he went up onto a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. He came the first time as a rising sun. And we're going to be singing at the close of our service the Christmas carol, "Hark, the Herald Angels Sing," that takes its material from Malachi chapter 4. He came the first time as a rising sun. He will come again as the risen sun in all his dazzling brilliance and glory. The first time, many people miss this sun. They miss the sunrise, as we often do. And today, too, many people don't see him at all. They're still walking in darkness. They don't live by the light that he brought into the world. But the second time he comes, no one will miss him. He will be unmissable. And for some people, they will be so happy about that event, they will frolic like well-fed calves. For others, that second coming will be a very different encounter. And I want us to come back to that in a moment. But before we see that, secondly, Malachi, in his prophecy, he wants us to see that the one who will be coming is a righteous son. He's a rising son, but he will be a righteous son. Look again with me just at the first part of verse 2. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. See, Jesus comes into our world not just as the rising sun, but as a righteous sun. And then not just as a man who was righteous himself, that is, a man who was right with God, the only one who ever has been from beginning to end, but actually a man who brings righteousness with him to share with others, a man who comes who has the ability to make others right with God, just as he is. You see, it's all very well to say to people stumbling around in the dark world, people who've lost their way, both morally and spiritually, to say to them, you're not righteous. You lack righteousness. You're not right with God. You need to get right with God. Because the truth is, we have no idea what that would look like. We're in the dark. We have no idea how we might even go about doing that. What would it take for us to get right with God apart from trying harder at what we're already doing? And actually, if we're honest with ourselves, we know that doesn't work. Jesus came into our world as the Son of Righteousness to show us what being righteous, what being right with God actually looks like. His righteousness blazed from every thought, every word, every deed that he did. And now, today, blazes from every page of the New Testament as you read it. Can I say, if the righteous life of Jesus Christ is something you're unfamiliar with, it's not something you know what it looks like, what it feels like, I've put some copies of this, Matthew's Gospel, just by the door. I'd love for you to take one away. To read it, to familiarize yourself with the wonderfully attractive, compelling, righteous life of Jesus Christ. See for yourself just what kind of a life that is right with God looks like. But more than that, see in the gospel how Jesus goes about not just showing us righteousness, which is of some help to us, but actually giving us his righteousness, making us like him. In his account of the crucifixion that you'll read about in Matthew's Gospel, he tells us this. From noon until 3 PM, darkness came over all the land. About 3 PM, Jesus cried out from the cross in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Do you remember the darkness that we're walking in this world? That's the darkness Jesus came to dispel as this great light. And here he is doing just that as he dies on the cross. All of that darkness that descends, he takes into and onto himself in his death. And all of his perfect righteousness and rightness with God, he offers us in exchange. He was forsaken by God in our place so that we can be right with God, just as he was. And the result of him doing that, at the exact moment that he dies, Matthew tells us that the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The curtain that separated the Holy of Holies in the holiest place on earth, the place where God's presence was understood to dwell, separated that from people like us, people who are stumbling around in the darkness. That was torn in two from top to bottom. Implication? That's something God did. That is God's way of saying Jesus' death on the cross removes that barrier between you and me. That actually people like you can now come into my presence because of Jesus' death on the cross, making you righteous. The righteous Son, he came to show us righteousness, what it looks like. He came to make us righteous, right with God. And he will come again to take all of those whom he has made righteous home to heaven. The rising Son, the righteous Son, the third thing that Malachi wants us to know, he will come as a healing Son. Healing Son. Verse 2 again. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. People who walk in darkness, as I said, who lose their way, they get lost, they get hurt in life. And of course, when Jesus came into our world, he healed people everywhere he went. Not everyone then, and actually not everyone now, although he continues to heal people today in answer to people's prayers. But one day, when he comes again, well, the Apostle John describes it like this. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. When Jesus comes again into our world, he will come as a healing Son, a Son with healing in its rays. And the healing that he will offer then will be complete and unending. So no wonder the reaction that Malachi describes to this coming, this rising, righteous, healing Son is verse 2, you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves when this one comes. Just have a look around you for a moment, very discreetly, in a kind of English way. We seem like quite a reserved bunch, don't we? Believe me, inside each and every one, there is a frolicking, well-fed calf that is aching to get out. And when Jesus returns, when he comes again into our world to usher in eternity, to welcome home those he has made righteous, to bring complete healing, even from death, our joy will be uncontainable and our satisfaction total. That's one response to this coming that Malachi describes, to the coming of Jesus. It's the response, says God through Malachi, do you see, if you look at the beginning of verse 2, of those who revere my name, those who are trusting in the death of Jesus on the cross for their righteousness, those who are longing to be welcomed home, those who long for that complete healing of heaven. For them, for us, if that is us, it'll be the best day of our lives, be the beginning of heaven. But there is another response to the same coming, the same event, that same day when the sun rises. And it's a very, very different response with a very different outcome. Have a look with me at verse 1. Surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. And not a root or a branch will be left to them. For those who do not revere God's name, for those who are not trusting in Jesus' death for their righteousness, for those, in fact, who considered his first coming an irrelevance and his second coming as unlikely, for them, His second coming will be utterly devastating. That's what Malachi wants us to know. It'll be their complete undoing. Not a root nor a branch will be left to them. Advent, the coming of Jesus into this world, we will either encounter him as a rising sun who brings light and righteousness and healing, who brings everything that we want and everything that we need, or we will encounter him as a furnace and be incinerated by him. What we make of his first coming and how we respond to him now will make all the difference to his second coming and how we experience that then. Well, let's take a moment as we reflect on Advent with the help of these words from Malachi, and then I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Let's take a moment of quiet. A rising, righteous, healing sun who brings salvation, or a furnace who brings devastation. Lord Jesus, we praise you as the one who came and who will come into our world to give us everything that we need, everything that we want. Thank you that you have already done that. You have already come as our Savior. Please would you give us soft hearts to receive you and to receive from you the righteousness that we need, so that when you come again, it will be the best day of our life and not the worst. It will be everything that we are longing and hoping for, and not our undoing. Please would you give us faith. Please would you give us humility to receive you as our coming King. Amen.